Accession number 27248, Mr. Charles Pay, Reel 2. Now, we're talking about this period when you were on rescue work after V1 raids. It was the V1, wasn't it, then?
Yeah.
The do the bug. Anything else you remember about that period, or any other way you were assisting the ARP?
Well, it became a habit until I got a ship. I mean, night or day, if anything happened, whether I was on duty or not, you'd go and help, you know. American soldiers were a hell of a lot of help too. Hell of a lot of help. The only thing was they were too enthusiastic.
In what way?
Well, they wanted to chuck stuff out the way, you know, like, you know. And of course that's not how you do it, because you can't hear what's happening, you can't see, you can't observe that there's about to be a collapse. And if you go at it like that, you're liable to bury them even worse, you know. So although you were very grateful of their company, you did have to say, no, you know. They were good.
Did it upset you when you found some the dead, basically?
Yes and no. It was very sad. I didn't know the person. And you've been brainwashed in your childhood, haven't you? You're expecting death. So I really wasn't too upset about finding... I was only upset when they were mauled, you know, when they were when their bodies were totally broken and bits missing and that kind of thing. That used to be upsetting.
Now, anything else about that time? I don't know how long you were doing that for.
I did it for, I suppose, about... it's got to be no more than 3 months, I would think, 4 months.
So across the summer of 1944?
Yeah. And then I went and got a ship.
Now, what was your first ship?
First ship was an old coaster, very old coaster, flat-bottomed, called the Blizzworth.
Blizzworth?
Yeah. And because she was flat-bottomed, she was tasked to run aground on the beaches, and the army drove out their lorries, drove their lorries out, and I don't know how they did it, but they drove their lorries out, and we loaded them up with their petrol and all that kind of thing and whatever else was going, and they would then drive off and another one would come down and we'd load him up.
Now, where would this be?
This would be on the French coast and...
In the Normandy landings area, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose they'd put down these metal roads, you know, the great big punched metal frames, aren't they?
And so they would run out on these frames, yeah, and then come up onto your flat-bottomed boat and be refuelled.
Mm.
Replenish and go off again.
Yeah.
And did you spend, well, I mean, how long were you off Normandy then?
Not very long, because we hit something. We don't know what it was. We were going in towards the beach and there was a hell of a bang. Not an explosion, just boom, you know, and stop, and you knocked off your feet and all that kind of thing. And we were holed, and nobody seemed to know what it was. I reckon it was a tank. I reckon it was a
submerged tank.
Yeah. Because to do what it did to us, I would have thought we'd have done to them. If it had been a water tank or something, we'd have done damage that, not us.
Now, what damage had you done to the Blizzworth?
Well, we were holed. I think it was only a split seam. And so we wrapped a tarpaulin round it like they did in the old days and tied it up tight and all that kind of thing. And the water became controllable then. And we were then instructed to go up to Antwerp to get repaired. And so we went up to Antwerp. We were there 3 months while they repaired it. And
now, before we go, tell us a bit about what your job was. How big was the crew on the Blisworth?
Oh, about 8 or 9.
What did each of them do? What were their jobs?
Well, there was a captain, there was a mate, there was an engineer, and a second engineer. There were 2 stokers. There was me.
Assistant steward, or were you the steward?
Yeah, I was the only steward. I was looking after the captain, nobody else. And the cook looked after the crew, you know.
And take us through your job then as steward. What did you actually do?
You kept everything clean and smart and all that kind of thing. The captain's cabin and all that kind of thing. And his saloon. Had a saloon in a little tiny ship lying there. And you would serve the meals.
You wouldn't cook them though?
No. So you would serve the meals. You'd clear up afterwards. You'd make their bed for them and all that kind of thing. Like a blooming big housemaid, actually. And
did you get on with the captain? I mean,
I never really got on with him. I didn't like him.
Why not?
He was a moaner. He was an old moaner. He really should have been retired. And he insisted on calling me Jimmy. God knows where he got Jimmy from. I don't know. And he used to get ratty if I didn't answer him. I mean, I wasn't used to being called Jimmy. And I'd walk straight past him. And he had a mate too, and that wasn't a very nice bloke either.
Why not?
He seemed to me to be always going behind somebody's back, whispering in the captain's ear about so-and-so and so-and-so, you know. And which I didn't think much of it. It's probably his bloody job, I don't know.
How did you get on with the rest of the crew?
All right. They were all right.
What do you mean by all right? I mean,
well, no problems. No problems at all, really.
Any special friends?
No. Yes, one. Stoker. We got on well together there. We used to go ashore together too.
So the first thing, you know, you'd been doing this job. You hadn't been doing the job long when the ship was damaged.
No, it was my first voyage.
And then you went to Antwerp.
Yeah.
Now, what happened at Antwerp?
Well, Antwerp was under full bombardment at that time. That was bombing. That was bombing. They were getting something like 12 times the battering that London had.
What was it like?
Oh, it was terrible. Terrible. And it was so frightening because the Belgians, you could not persuade them not to go near a glass window when they hear, we're getting buzz bombs galore. And they would run to the window and look, oh la, that's all you heard from them. And he's trying to explain to them, don't get near the glass, you know. But they wouldn't, they just took no notice of it. And they were having a hell of a time there.
Was it air raids or was it V1s and V2s?
It was V1s, V2s and air raids.
So all three things?
Yeah. Nothing, not the kind of air raids that we had. These were fighter bombers, light bombers, singletons. You know, they'd come in, boom, bang, and they're gone, you know. And we weren't allowed to shoot at them. That was what frustrated me. Because I had a something I've forgotten to tell you, that I had a training course with the Royal Navy with guns, and we were sitting in the dry dock there, and because of the vibration from the guns, if we fired them, they wouldn't let us in case we rolled the ship over, you see. But it was very frustrating.
What sort of damage were the V1s, V2s and bombing causing?
Oh, it was bloody terrible. It was terrible. They had a NAFI theatre. The NAFI had taken over the theatre. And a V1 landed on it, and it was full of troops.
Is this the Rex Cinema?
I don't know. Don't know. And everybody charged up there to rescue them, and a V2 came over, bonk, right on the same bloody thing. Never would have dreamed it could happen. Terrible. They had a terrible time there, that town. I don't remember what the statistics are, but the statistics of them, of what they took in Antwerp and what London took. London was nothing. That was really 6-12 times as much. And in 3 months.
Was there much around the docks where you were, the dry dock?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I went to the porthole one day, looked out the porthole, and there goes this, don't worry about that, there goes this enormous gout of flame, and it had landed right in, it was a V2, and it had landed right in among all these dockers, about 12 of them, just gone, you know, nothing left of them, terrible. And then the girls came over, the ATS, and manned the Antwerp was behind a barricade of anti-aircraft guns, and you could see from the docks when there was one coming, and when the girls came, Christ. The number of damaged V1s that came tinkling over with bits of wing hanging off and all that kind of thing. It was terrifying. It was horrible. And they were always coming over. They never gave you a second.
What were the girls doing? Were they on the anti-aircraft guns?
Yeah. They were so enthusiastic. They made the Royal Artillery look like a bunch of nothing. You know? I drove around. I was while we were in the docks, there wasn't much for me to do, and I got kind of shanghaied by a bloke who services the ships with food and that kind of thing, you know. And he asked me if I could drive. I said yes. Didn't tell him I wasn't old enough, and. So he said, would you like to take over my van? It was a Hillman van, and deliver to some of the ships for me. Take me, allow me to have a bit of time. And so I said, yeah, that'd be good. And so off I went, you see, and that was quite interesting, that was.
In what way? Tell us about it.
Well, you're driving around in a place that has been absolutely swamped by the Germans. It's just villages, just a chimney sticking up with that kind of thing, you know. And it was very busy, very busy.
When did you learn to drive?
Ah, now, that was something I didn't tell you about. I went to work for a car... a motor engineer, you know, and I went and worked for them for a while in what was the name of the road? Can't remember. It was just off the Tottenham Court Road, actually, near the station. What was the Haverstock Hill?
When was that? Was it?
That was as soon as I could go to work. I'd forgotten about that. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Now tell us about this Royal Navy Gunnery course you went on. Tell us. We'll go back and do that.
Well, it was down here. It was down. First of all, it was in the Thames on, I think it was HMS Discovery and Chrysanthemum. And you had naval gunners, anti-aircraft gunners, not anything to hit with. So I did. I think it was a long course. We did about a fortnight on the two ships, and then we did. I think it was about a week on Shoebury on Maplins.
Now, what guns were you learning?
Oerlikons, Browning .5s, Royal Navy 12-pounders, and what they call the pillar box, which had, which was like a rotating pillar box with rockets up the sides. So 40 rockets, 20 each side.
What did you think of these weapons?
I thought they were horrible. I was keen to get the Oerlikon. I loved that Oerlikon.
Well, tell me a bit about the Oerlikon. That's the one you had on the Blisworth, isn't it?
No, the Blisworth had Oerlikons. Yeah.
Well, tell me about the Oerlikon.
The Oerlikon, it's a beautifully made gun. It does what you want it to do. It's destructive. It's very destructive. When we practiced on the Blisworth, we did target practice on the sunken ships. There were quite a lot of sunken ships in the estuary to the River Scheldt, and we used to fire at their masts. And all those Oerlikons would bring the mast down if you kept.
Now, when was that? That used to do that.
This was after we'd been damaged.
After we were going
up to the.
I was just wondering whether were you damaged off Normandy or were you damaged off the Scheldt?
Damaged off Normandy.
Right. Okay. Mm. So, and what was it? Tell us how you used the Oerlikon. I mean, do you remember the gun drill on it?
Oh yeah.
Tell us a bit about that.
Well, they would send up a parachute, a target parachute, you see, and you would have your go. And they had certain tricks. I mean, they measured, of course, what your accuracy was, whether you were any damn good at all. And when they wanted you to stop firing, they would never say cease fire. They would put their hand over the eyepiece. And you'd be surprised how many blokes have got their eyes shut. They'd still keep firing, and then they'd kind of slap them and say stop before, you know. And that was very interesting, that was. The 12-pounder was a really noisy swine with a terrible bang. A real, real bang. Oh, dear, oh, dear. And the worst noise, I thought, was the rockets.
I've not heard about the pillar box lot rockets. How did you operate them? What were they like to operate?
Well, they were electrically operated. And the rockets had brass sides, and they were nestled between two electrodes, you see. So each one had an electrical contact. Now, that was a terrible noise when they were fired. You're firing 40 rockets at a time, if you're lucky. If you're not lucky, and two or three of them don't go off, then you have to wait ages with your hands on the triggers. You have to wait ages until they're happy that it's not going to go off, because nobody trusted the rockets. And so you're sitting there sweating, hoping it doesn't misfire and explode, you know. And then you take your hands off the triggers, and you're allowed to get out, and then the blokes who maintain them lift them off very, very carefully, you know. They were a dreadful blooming weapon.
How did you load them? I mean, would you have to load them, or were they preloaded for you?
They were preloaded.
Mm. Anything else about that Royal Navy gunnery course?
I don't know.
Okay. Now, so you, when you were...
Yes, hang on. We also went to the dome at Hornchurch, where they, where you have a simulated gun and a simulated air attack. You know, they fly the plane across. It's not a plane, it's a film. The film of the plane going across, and you've got to sort out where your bullets are going to get to, you know. And then they sent us to the Marines down at Maplin's again. And we had another go with that. Now, those things, they were imitation guns, and they fired ball bearings, steel balls. And I turned out to be a hot shot there. Yeah, I turned out to be quite a hot shot.
So when you were on the Billings, you were not Blisworth, sorry, the Blisworth, you were not only the steward, you were the anti-aircraft gunner.
Yes and no. The main anti, we had people called DEMs on the ship, two Royal Navy blokes, and they were the Orlikon boys, and I had a Hotchkiss, bloody awful silly gun.
Now what did you think of the Hotchkiss?
Oh, it was... most unreliable gun I've ever come across. It
in what way?
Just kept jamming. Just failed to fire when you wanted it. Terrible blooming thing. You'd get a few shots and stop.
And then you didn't get much chance to practice with it, I presume?
No, I didn't. The captain said, Jimmy, don't mess about with that. It's stupid. It's useless.
So, anything else that happened? You're in Antwerp.
What's yeah. Mm-hmm. We were the third ship into Antwerp after it had been liberated, and we tied up alongside. Oh, that was a lark too. We tied up alongside, and the dock. I don't know whether they're all like it, but this dock had steps going down. You know, down. Down about 50 feet, you know, and these huge steps, and we tied up alongside, and there we were, the water had run out of the docks for some reason or other, and there we were airborne. The ship was airborne, hanging on the side of it. Never seen anything like it in my life, and you couldn't get off it, so we were all a bit frightened. But they managed to do whatever they had to do to the gates and filled the docks up again. So.
Now you were there, I think the Antwerp was captured, I think, round about September 44, not quite sure.
Mm.
Perhaps not.
I don't know when.
And you were there until 3 months?
We were there 3 months.
Anything else you remember from that time? Anything that happened to you or things you saw or did?
Well, I know I was, the Dems men had gone home on leave. So I took over the Orlikon. And there was a cheeky bloody German in a Messerschmitt 109. And he was just cruising around the docks and probably making note or photographing what ships are there, you know. And what's happening in Antwerp and all that kind of thing. And there I was with that twin-barreled Orlikon, and I couldn't do a thing. It was against the law. We weren't allowed to fire in the docks. Because fair enough. I mean, if you hit it, it's going to come down on the town, isn't it? So when I looked up a bit higher, there was a squadron of bloody fighters up there waiting for him. And they got him. They let him fly out of Antwerp, and then they blew him apart.
And he any other incidents like that?
Well, Antwerp was full of incidents. There was all manner of things. Very tragic place, I thought. Very tragic.
What sort of thing? Give some examples.
Well, like the theatre. That was horrendous. Those poor dockies, about 20 blooming people working with the load, you know, offloading cargo, and then they were gone. And, you know, it was full of tragedies like that. Full of them.
Were you nervous yourself, in yourself?
I don't remember being nervous. I think I was brainstormed by what had happened earlier on in my life, you know.
You mean all the bombing and...
All the bombing and all that, yeah. I think, you kind of... I think anybody either chickens out completely or gets used to it. I don't think that there's any middle way.
So, anything else before we leave Antwerp, or, you know?
No, I don't think so. Don't think so, no.
So, you were there about 3 months.
Hmm.
It seems a long time for the ship's repairs, but, you know, was she fully repaired then?
Well, they did work that was outstanding as well, I think. I wasn't really au fait with what was happening, but I did get the impression that the skipper got a lot bit more done than we went in for, you know. Plus the fact that it was an old ship, and I don't know whether they could get the same thickness of plate that we were made of, you know.
So when were you finished? Did you spend Christmas there, or was it after Christmas?
Oh, we spent Christmas there, yes.
What do you remember of that?
Nothing. It wasn't a very festive Christmas. And it was just a matter of survival, really. With all those things coming over. Another thing that I remember about Antwerp was when we first got there, and for most of the time that we were there, you used to see them launching the V2. You could see the V2s being launched, and they had a strange way of going up. They went up like that. I thought, it must be wrong, you know.
What, sort of spiralling?
Yeah, but then it gets up to its turnover time, and it straightens out. Whee! And we used to see them because they were being launched from Holland, and of course the other side of the River Scheldt is Holland. So they were being launched from only 30 or more miles away, you know. So it was all very interesting, very intriguing. We had another thing. We had a couple of Nazis in one of the tall buildings in.